How about now? Amen. More. I'm talking. Got it. All right. Praise God. Thank God for another day. Amen. And how great is our God. Thank God for the songs we have sung this morning. Wonderful songs that let us know that our God is not only great, but our God is good.
Yes, he is.
And his mercy endures
yes,
to forever. All yes. generations.
Yes, yes.
Which means that we can pray for our children Amen. And our children's children mm-hmm. and their grandchildren that God's mercy extends to them. You always hear me talk about the kids because I'm just I just really am concerned about our kids. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we're gonna look at the Word of God today. You see the theme up there. We're gonna look in the book of Hebrews for a few minutes, a few verses, and one verse in the book of 1 Corinthians. Let's pray, Father. This afternoon, we just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
We want to say thank you, Lord, because you've been so good. You've been good to us down through the years, God. You brought us this far, and we've come this far by faith. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for giving us your word this afternoon. We thank you for the people of God and for the hearts of your people. They've come today to receive of you, God. You know that they have needs, and you've come to meet every need that they have today. Somebody mentioned the name Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and we thank you, Lord. You came to provide everything that we need. Everything that we need is in you today. We thank you. We thank you for this new day. This is the day that you made. We rejoice and are glad in it. Lord, this day is not like yesterday. This is a new day. And Lord, with this new day, we get new opportunities. We have new chances. We're thankful, Father, that you're the God of the second chance, and this is a new day. Forget about yesterday, God. Yes. Your word tells us forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, and we press toward the goal, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we thank you. Bless your word as good seed to the hearts of these your people today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And we're going to be looking at that theme, the things that remain. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to just start reading at the first verse 25. It says, "See to it that you do not refuse to listen to him who is speaking to you now. For if those sons of Israel..." Are we? Oh, you didn't put it up. Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm reading from Amplified. If you have a Bible, your Bible is probably New King James. If you have an Amplified Bible, that's what I'm reading from. So some of these words are a little bit beyond what you have in your regular Bible, but they bring out the flower, the fruit. They bring out the sweetness of the Word of God. So let me just start over. So verse 25 says, "See to it that you do not refuse to listen to him who is speaking to you now. For if those sons of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to him who warned them on earth, revealing God's will, how much less will we escape if we turn our backs on him who warns from heaven? His voice shook the earth at Mount Sinai. Then, but now he has given a promise, saying, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the starry heaven.'" Now this expression, "yet once more," indicates the removal and final transformation of all those things which can be shaken, that is, of that which has been created, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. I just want to bring out a few things in these three verses, three or four maybe. The first thing starts in verse 25, and it says, and this is only in your Amplified. If you have that, if you don't have it, I'm going to tell you what Amplified says. It says, "See to it that you do not refuse to listen to him who is speaking to you now." Listen to him that is speaking to you, when? Now. My wife almost just totally wiped out my message this morning in power. Listen to him who is speaking. Who's speaking? God is speaking. God is speaking to you now. That majestic voice, and he tells us that that voice shook the earth. But he says there's going to come a time, I'm not only going to shake the earth, but I'm going to shake heaven and earth. His voice, and let me just make it clear here, this is not to the world. This is a message to the church. He's saying to the church, and I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the body of believers, all those who claim to know the Lord Jesus for themselves. You are the church. And this message is for the church. What's the message? Listen to God who is speaking to you. This voice is meant to shake up the church. 2020 was a turning point. It was a time in history that nobody will ever forget. It changed the whole economy on earth. But more importantly for us, COVID changed the church. Before COVID, many churches were filled. Everybody was happy. But the problem was that many that were in those churches were there just playing church. Did you hear what I just said? They were in church, but they were playing church instead of being the church. God did not call us to play church. He didn't call us to go to church. He called us to be the church. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism.
That's right.
The church is made up of living believers. After COVID, many people never came back to church. And a lot of people got concerned about that. But I'm going to show you something. 1 John 2:19 says something. It says, these people left our churches. Now, this is New Living Translation. It says, these people left our churches, but they never really belonged to us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. So when you see a mass, what seems like an abandonment of the church, don't worry about that. God never said for us, Jesus never said that the church would be big, that there would be in big numbers. He said for the church to go ye therefore and teach all nations, preach the gospel, make disciples of all people. So if you feel like what's going on in our society, in our world today, with wars everywhere, with government corruption, with indoctrination in our schools, gendered identification and all these things, all this chaos, if you think that's something, let me bring something to your attention. Sometimes God allows these things to what? Shake us up. He allows these things to get our attention. He is speaking to us through circumstance today to me and to you. Looking at verse 27, the second thing I want to bring out is where he brings out, he says that there's be a removal and final transformation. And that just means there's a process of change that is taking place. And in that change brings very great discomfort. And you know, as humans, we are not real good with change to begin with. But when God gets involved in our affairs, it's because there's some change that needs to take forth, to take place. There's some changes that need to go involved in the church. I'm not talking about the world, because the world is the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. The world is broken.
We're not going to fix it. If we could fix it, then in the end times, Jesus, or he wouldn't say that I'm going to make new heavens and new earth. This world is not going to get fixed. But we're going to be able to bring one person at a time into the kingdom of God. When we start talking about the things that's going on in the world, they're very important, because in the Bible it talks about kingdoms. And it says kingdoms will rise against kingdoms, nations against nations. Because the whole thing was about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is going to be in heaven. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're going to be. But while we're down here, we have a job to do. What's our job? We're what? Ambassadors. Yeah. And we're carrying a message of what? Reconciliation. We're the ones that are the go-between. We are called in 1 Peter a royal priesthood. Because what? Our job is to be priests before God. Go-betweens, that means we have a prayer life. That means we call on God for people. And we call on God. We call on God for the people, and we call to God to speak to the people. Did you get that? We call on God for the people's affairs so that people get saved, so that people get transformed, get changed. And we call to God. We call to God to fix them, and we call to God for them on their behalf. We're the go-betweens. So he says there's a removal and a final transformation. And so that things which can be, it says, of things which can be shaken. What things can be shaken? The things that can be shaken are those things that are not of God. Anything that's not like God is going to be shaken. What things? Micah 6 and 8 tells us what? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of you? To do what? Justly, love mercy, and to walk what? Humbly before your God. We know what we need to do as the church. We're not talking about the world. We don't have an expectation for the world to be the church. The world is not supposed to be the church. He called you, if you know the Lord, he called you out of the world. That's what it means. We're the called out ones. So don't worry about the world. We pray for the world. We pray for the leaders of this world. But don't have an expectation, because that's a false expectation. It's not going to happen. But what we can do is affect other individuals' lives. And we can do that every day. Brother Mark was praying, and Mark has a heart for souls in the community. And when you go out, you have opportunity. When you run into strangers on the street, you have opportunity to stop and greet them, to talk to them, as you were saying, smile at them. You know, good morning. You can see that they have a need. They're hungry. Buy them some food. Tell them about the Lord. That's our job. What things? Micah tells us what things. We have failed, for the most part, as a church to do these things. We've been remiss in our responsibilities. So God has to shake us up. He's speaking to us, and he's shaking things up. And sometimes I heard a man say, God allows things to stack up. Boom, one thing after another, after another, after another, on purpose. We know that if we call on God, he answers prayer. But sometimes God allows these things to go on to get what? Our attention. When he needs our undivided attention, he speaks and the world shakes. And the message is, wake up. God is speaking. And what are we to do? Listen to what God has to say. We are California is a what? Earthquake state. What's the big motto for our earthquake state? Are you ready for the big one? When the world shakes, sometimes it affects my personal, let me give you my personal experience of what shaking. Because we all have experiences of what feels sometimes like a shaking in our everyday lives. And my experience, I'm going to give you our experience. And if you were there for this morning for Power Hour, you already heard this. You probably heard it a few times. My wife, about 10 years ago, lost her hearing. She became completely deaf. I'm talking about this one right here in the red. That's my wife of 47 years. Amen. She lost her hearing, completely. She went from hearing, and her hearing wasn't that great, but she went from hearing to nothing. I'm going to tell you right now, if you had a choice to make, if you lose my hearing or lose my vision, let me tell you, it's better to be blind than deaf. The description that my wife gives, even thinking about it, I want to cry, because she says it was like drowning. I never forget it. And I'm talking about a shaking. I'm talking about earthquakes in life. She tells me one day, she says, I guess you better call my brother Pacho and tell him that if he calls me, I can't hear him. Right. That's a shaking. That's like an earthquake.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do when your world shakes? I'm reminded, and Sister Christie, she read out of chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. The next chapter over, chapter 8, talks about a time after, because in chapter 7, they're worshiping the Lord. There's in all this adulation, worshiping the Lord. In chapter 8, something changes. The seventh seal is opened. And then after that seventh seal is opened, it says there was silence in heaven for the space of about 30 minutes.
Wow.
30 minutes silence. It reminds me of the word in the Old Testament in the Psalms that says, Selah. Think about this. And that's just 30 minutes of silence. We went 8 months before she could get the implant. She can hear now because she's got the device, but she'll never hear like she heard when she had her ears. When we sing melodies and harmonies and hears musical notes, you'll never hear that again. That device is not an ear. When God said, when that word of God says that we were fearfully and wonderfully made, you better believe it. When you got your senses and they all were intact and they work, you better thank God.
Amen.
My wife can hear, but she cannot hear notes. And it just really hurts me because I love music and I love harmony and I love the instruments. She can't hear like we hear, but I'm going to tell you something, what she can hear, she can hear the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
And that's the most important thing you ever want to hear. Listen, and when you listen, you will hear. And when she gets to heaven, see, this is all comparing, you know, it's all relative. You know, she may not be able to hear these notes now, but boy, when she gets to heaven, it'll all be brand new.
Yeah.
Whoo. And I said that, and I even brought her up because when we're talking about this shaking, you're going to be able to withstand this shaking only by faith. And when she went through that 8 months, her faith was unwavering. And I got to give a shout out to my wife for her unwavering faith at this time. So for us to survive that shaking, you have to have a foundation that is secure. If you're talking about earthquakes in the earth, UC San Diego has a building where they do studies on earthquakes. And they have devised ways to make buildings earthquake safe so that they roll instead of crumble and fall over. And in some buildings that are older, they have retrofitting. So they make them where they can withstand earthquakes. That what they're doing is they're assuring that they're structurally sound when their shaking comes. And the same way those buildings have to be retrofitted or built to withstand that shaking, we have to have some kind of a foundation that'll help us so that when shaking comes, we can stand. 1 Corinthians 3:11 tells us there is no foundation that any man can lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He has to be that foundation. But what God has done, when we as a church become too complacent, when we get too comfortable in our blessings, we get proud, we get a little bit arrogant, we stop going to church. We stop fellowshipping with saints. We stop praying. We stop studying our word. Sometimes a shaking needs to happen to get your attention, to get you back on track. So that verse in 17 said that things that cannot be shaken will remain. So we look at 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. It says, and now there remain faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, that's in New King James. But look up here if you can see that. This is Amplified. I wanted to bring out Amplified because Amplified kind of gives you a little bit better understanding of those ideas. But before we get to that, we're in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul has had to address the problem of spiritual gifts. And you notice I said the problem. Because he says, as in, I think if you got a King James Bible, your Bible will say, concerning spiritual gifts. There was a concern for what was going on in the church. And so concerning spiritual things, he says, let me explain something to you. If you have all these gifts, but you don't have love, you got a problem. Gifts without love, and this is what he's saying. He's expressing that at the absence of love, when the gifts are on display, they don't benefit. You're not doing ministry. You're showing off. That's what Paul was doing in addressing those giftings in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. So let's read that verse. Verse 13 says, and now there remain faith. Amplified says, abiding trust in God and his promises. Job is one book that came to my mind as I was thinking about faith. We all know the story of Job. The Bible tells us Job was an upright man. It said he feared God. He shunned evil. He prayed for his kids and his kids, just in case his kids had sinned. And then he goes on and there's this meeting between the sons of God, which are just angels, and God, and as somebody said, and Satan came with them. And now there's this conversation, and God starts to brag about Job. Have you considered my servant Job?
Right.
Have you checked him out?
Uh-huh.
He's an upright man. He fears God. He shuns evil. And so the devil, Satan, he has an answer. Oh, yeah, I know why.
Yeah, I've tried.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly why he's that way. Look at what you're giving him. And so the story goes on. Job loses. He loses his family. He loses his fortune. He loses his friends. He loses his health. He lost everything but his life. So when you get to chapter 13 in the book of Job, verse 15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. This is a man that, and the scripture tells us about Job, he never lost his integrity. He never lost the foundation, that support. And so when the shaking came to his life, everything was taken from him but his life, and he stood strong. The 14th chapter, verse 14, it says, all the days of my service, I will wait until my change comes.
Amen.
This is a man who lost it all. He had gone through all. He had gone through things most of us would never experience. But he never lost his integrity. He stood firm. And then the 19th chapter, 25 to 27, he says, I know, let me read it. It says, but as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives.
Yes.
And he, you can listen to this closely. He will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed.
Mm-hmm.
Hear what he's saying here. After my body, he's talking about after my body goes in that ground, it breaks down, everything is gone. After my body has decayed, yet in my body, I will see God. This is a man, this is, you may not know this, but Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It's not the first book in the Bible, but it is the oldest book in the Bible. The oldest book in the Bible tells us about resurrection. And he says, I'm going to stand and I'm going to see him with my own eyes. He says, yet in my body, the body's broken down, but he says, in my body. He knew that his body's going to be resurrected. And when that resurrected body, he says, and I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. The last part of this is the part that gets me. He says, I'm overwhelmed at the thought. Just thinking about that blew him away. In the situation he was in, he was yet glorifying God. The things that cannot be shaken. So first thing was hope. The first thing was faith. The second thing is hope. The confident expectation of eternal salvation. And I thought about Isaiah with this one. The sixth chapter of Isaiah, verse 1 says, the year King Uzziah died, the king that they loved, this was a beloved king. The nation was in mourning. Isaiah was in mourning. And it was in that mourning, in that shaking in their lives in Judah, that God showed himself to Isaiah in a vision. He said, I saw the Lord.
Yeah,
yeah, the king that we love died, but I saw the Lord. The Lord was still on the throne. And he was still in his glory. It says his glory filled the temple. Angels were flying around crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. So all is not lost because we have loss in this earth. Because God was still there. And he not only showed himself to Isaiah, but he let Isaiah see himself. And when he saw himself, he said, whoa, oh, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. This is what we have to see in the church today. We're undone.
That's right.
But he had a personal problem. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell among a people of unclean lips. For I have seen the Lord. It's only when you see God that you see yourself. And you see your flaws. And you wonder, how, God, do you love me like I am? But the good thing was, after he confessed his sins and he confessed his flaws and weaknesses, it says the angel flew.
All right.
And it flew over and it got the tongues and it picked up a hot coal and it took it to his lips and it put it on his lips. He says, now your sins are taken away.
Yeah.
So, but that's why 1 John says what? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. To forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Isaiah, in his despair, in his gloom, in his despondency, God, the Lord showed himself, cleansed his sins, and then called him into the ministry. He says, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And he said, here am I. Send me. And that's why you feel when God has taken care of all your situation. He's taken care of when you find that in that shaking, in that earthquake, that you're still standing. And you know it's not because of any good thing in you or anything about your intellect. You find out it was God that allowed it.
Amen.
Then you want to do, Lord, I want to serve you. I was serving the king all this time, but Lord, I want to serve the King of Kings.
Yes, man. Yes.
The Lord of Lords.
Lord of Lords.
He had hope after the Lord showed himself to him. Everybody needs hope. Mm-hmm. You can do it a lot of things, but you can't go too far without hope. Mm-hmm. That's why Romans 5:5 says, hope will not disappoint. Mm-hmm. So faith, hope, and the third one is love. Love, unselfish love. Love for others growing out of God's love for us. Mm-hmm. When we understand how God loves us and we start to, that love that God gives to us starts to flow out of us. Into others. And this is why I love it when Brother Mark starts talking about his experiences outside. The love of God is flowing through him. Mm-hmm. And you can't not love people when the love of God is in you. This is why Jesus would tell them four things he tells them. He says, love the Lord thy God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he said, love one another. And then, what's the favorite?
Love
your enemies. Mm-hmm. You can't do that unless the love of God abides in you. Love. Jeremiah was a man that loved his people because he loved his God. Jeremiah preached for what? 40 years. Didn't get one convert. Didn't get one. He was called the weeping prophet. You look in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations means lamenting. It means mourning. He loved his God and he loved his people so much that he just called on God for them. And he cried for them to repent. And they would not. But one thing about it, Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And Jesus, of course, Jesus loved so much he cried three times. He cried when he looked over Israel. He said they were like sheep with no shepherd. He cried when Lazarus died and brought him back to life. He cried in the Garden of Gethsemane when he got ready to be separated from his father. That made him agonize. And finally, he showed his love when he got on that cross. After going through all he went through, he gets on the cross. And the first thing he says is, Father, forgive. Mm-hmm. Now that's love. Because love has nothing to do with our stuff we do.
Right.
His love does not change when I do stuff wrong. It doesn't change when I mess up. His love is consistent. Mm-hmm. His love is eternal. And then he would show his love because he would what? Die.
Wow.
So he says these three, faith, hope, and love, these three. He says, but the greatest of these is love. So in 1 Corinthians, that same chapter, verse 8, it says, gifts will cease. People get hung up on the spiritual gifts, but he tells you that the gifts are going to cease. They're not eternal gifts. Faith is not even eternal, because when we get to heaven, we're not going to need faith. You have faith in that which you don't see. But when we get to heaven, we're going to see him. There's no need for faith in heaven. There's no need for hope in heaven because that which you hope for is in front of you. You only hope for that which you don't have. But when you get to heaven, you won't need hope. So faith and hope and gifts, they're not eternal. One thing is love.
Amen.
Yes. Love is eternal. 1 John 4:8 tells us why love is eternal, because God is love.
Amen.
And God is eternal. God is love. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. 1 Peter 4:8 says, love covers a multitude of faults. And as I wrap this up, I know I'm running late. God has spoken. The first thing we read, listen. He says to listen to him who is speaking to you now. God has spoken. So the question is, will we listen? Will we listen? Because this is a message to us. This is not a message to the world. You don't take this message out to the world and say, God is speaking to you, listen. They're going to look at you like, okay, keep on going eating their sandwich. God has spoken. Will we listen? Jude 24 says something that has nothing to do with, but it says, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, because things are going to shake. And if your stable foundation is under you, you won't fall. When life begins to quake and to shake, you'll be standing firm. When storms and wind blows, you'll be able to stand firm. When life gets overwhelming, and I know people right now that life has overwhelmed them because they don't have a foundation. They need a foundation. We'll be able to withstand, and you'll be able to remain because Jesus is your foundation. I am done. Let us stand and have a word of prayer. Father, this afternoon, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sending shaking earthquakes, for sending storms in life. Thank you, Lord, for sending trouble. We don't like it, but it wakes us up. It gets our attention, and we need to have our eyes focused sometimes. We need to wake up out of our stupor sometimes. And so this afternoon, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your attention to us. We thank you for considering us, Lord, to shake us up, to wake us up, so that we find that there is a work for us to do. You've called us out of this world. You've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. For a purpose, for a reason, you're using us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity, God, to be used of you. We thank you for saving our souls. We thank you for Jesus on that cross. We thank you, Lord. And we're here this afternoon, and we've decided to listen and say yes to your will. So, Lord, we say thank you. We thank you for every heart. We thank you, Lord, for every soul that is in the sound of this voice. Thank you for changing things in our lives, for turning things around, setting things that were upside down, right side up. Lord, we just say thank you because you're such a good, good Father to us. Bless your people in every place, in everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord.